You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is on vacation. We'll be back before you know it. If you'd like to join us today, give us a call. Send us a text. It's the same number. It's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, for we are streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. We have a jam-packed show for you today. At 9:35, Andrew Watkins is a New York Times best-selling author, as well as the creator of a Substack called For Such Times as This. And she will be joining us again today. She's our monthly guest, talking about the influence of Christian nationalism, white Christian nationalism. She is a survivor of a white Christian nationalist community. And she joins our show to give us a really deep dive and an insight into that world. And not only about what to know, but how to spot it in our halls of power. So she will be with us at 9:35. At 10:06 in our second hour, Rick Reed is an economics professor from Fox Valley Technical College. He joins us as well every quarter or so, when we need him, and we need him. He reached out to us about being on the show today. We're going to be talking about President Trump's attempts to bully the Fed chair Jerome Powell, why this is the fact, and why this doesn't help America with the intentions that Donald Trump seeks with regard to trying to force the Fed to make America look better again. That's going to be at 10:06. And then at 10:35, because she's taking some time off, Brittany Merlot is going to be joining us with Weather and Wine. So Weather and Wine early Wednesday. We're going to get an update on the weather for this weekend up into next week, as well as discuss a nifty tool. I said nifty, that's right. A nifty tool that's from NOAA that just helps us with flood inundation a warning. And it'll be a great discussion with Brittany. And then, of course, at 10:52, we end the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is Get Your Wands Out, the Dumpus Eliminatus edition. So you don't want to go anywhere. This is going to be a packed show. Lots going on. First, before we get anywhere, I want to introduce the board lord, Captain Slide. I mean, General, I'm gonna promote you as of today. You're now General Slide. It's Calvin Butenhoff on the boards, everybody.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's hump day. We're after today's show's over, we'll be more than halfway through the week already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just the way hump day. You just sound so thrilled about Wednesday.
You know, people always gripe on Mondays. Mm-hmm. For me, Tuesday is usually the draggiest day of the week.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, we're on the other side of that. We're moving in the right direction.
It provides hope. I understand that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Well, Calvin will be with us the entire show. I hope you stick with us the entire show. I'm very excited about what we're going to be talking about today. And before we kick it off into giving you the exact article that we're going to be discussing this morning as part of our syllabus. That's right. I just stole that from Jim Santel. Take it. Ah. I'm going to read a quote. And I want you and you folks to think about who you think may have said this. I know you're going to get this in one singular guess, but I want you to think about this. Quote goes like this. I've been watching over the course of the past several weeks as my Democratic colleagues have been talking about what they would like to accomplish this fall, and the vast majority of things they'll be introducing are repealing some good things that we have done. They are not really focusing on the future. They're continuing to obsess about the past and the good work that we have done. Unlike our Democratic colleagues, we really look forward to, we were looking at the issues that are important to the entire state of Wisconsin. I believe we have, the gentleman who has said that statement has entered the chat. Calvin, do you have his theme music? Yes, that was Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in a new article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Baylor Spears with the byline came out this morning. Assembly Republicans announced scattered package of education bills and task force. Wow, task force is hard to discuss words on a Wednesday. But yesterday there was a press conference with Robin Voss. There is a picture. I will put this article in the show notes, and I can guarantee you that the people behind him seem like they want to be anywhere but in front of that press briefing. The Assembly Republicans announced a broad education agenda Tuesday, along with a set of task forces. The slate of proposals they plan to advance this fall include one to encourage school districts to consolidate and one to push Governor Tony Evers to opt into a federal choice school program. Though exact bill details were scant, of course. Among the new task forces is one that pursues goals similar to those that the Republican committee established last year to improve government efficiencies. So if you don't remember, actually, let's give you two layers of storytelling here. First, remember DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, headed by Elon Musk? You know that guy who was our shadow president for a few months, but now he's gone trying to recoup his image and trying to make you believe that he's not a bad guy, even though he tried to buy a state Supreme Court election here in Wisconsin with over $100 million. Yeah, that guy. So there was the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, and they did a lot of damage. And we don't know the extent of it, but they're talking anywhere between $150 to $160 billion in damage to the federal government in the guise of trying to save us money. Well, shortly after DOGE came out, Robin Voss, along with his cohorts, came out with a group called GOAT. I'm not kidding you. This is a real thing. I'm not making this up. Again, I'm not that funny. GOAT, Government Oversight and Accountability Task Force. Same thing, only applied to Wisconsin. That sort of went away. That sort of went the way of the dodo. We don't really hear about GOAT anymore, but they want to revive it in a new way. They want to rebrand it. But before we talk about the task forces, I want to talk about the educational components. They want to look at consolidating school districts, encourage them to consolidate and share services. According to this article by Baylor Spears in the Wisconsin Examiner, currently there are 421 public school districts around the state. And they're because of declining enrollment, there are a number that may be cut. Representative Amanda Nedweski, who is a representative in Pleasant Prairie, which is right about where I live, said that this seeks to address financial issues school districts are faced by encouraging them to consolidate and sharing their services. We have lost 53,000 students over the last decade. Because student enrollment is the primary driver of our state's school funding formula, districts experiencing declined enrollment receive less money in state aid. I followed the budget pretty closely with Jane and with UCal and with Dan Schaefer and with many other people. I feel like the less state aid that's happening for schools is because the Republicans cut state aid for schools for K through 12, and they did it again in this budget. They did it in the last budget. They do it all the time. I don't understand, and folks, call me or text me or leave a comment on the live stream. Let me know how I'm not getting this, because apparently they're not going to get state aid because of declining enrollment, but they're not getting state aid at all because of the Republicans. That's how I've seen it, because as we saw in this year's biennium budget, they got no increase in K through 12. There were other increases in education, and that's great, and I'm happy about that. It's not enough. It's never enough. And frankly, Wisconsin can afford it. We have a surplus. The surplus in last year was about $7.1 billion, and by the end of this year, we're looking to be back to about $4.6 billion. Now, you also have to take into account that some of that money is going to go away because we're giving it away in tax refunds, tax credits, or, you know, tax cuts, I should say, for folks here in Wisconsin, which is okay, which is fine. Does add up to about $180, depending. But, you know, let's not spend that money on kids. Let's close the schools. Let's combine them. Let's keep not funding them. Nedweski goes on to say Democrats might argue that the solution is something to throw more money at the problem, but it does not solve the issue that's there, that less kids are being born today than they were 20 years ago. Calvin, did you hear that? That's the key word. Less kids are being born. We need to have more children. More children need to be born, because if we don't have more children, we cannot fund them, cannot fund these schools. I mean, why bother? It's a very much a why bother situation. It's like when you see that there's a movie, The Naked Gun, not the new one, but the original, where Lieutenant Drebin is standing in front of a fire and just saying, there's nothing to see here. Just keep on walking. We got it taken care of. And they want to take care of what's called the cycle of referendum. And we've discussed that as well on the show. The cycle of referendum. I voted last year to increase my personal property taxes to help fund the schools in Kenosha, even though I don't have children, because I believe investing in the future helps with the community. That's not how the Republicans see it. They never do. They want to close schools. They want to combine services. And here's another. A bill from Republican Representative Jesse Rodriguez of Oak Creek will instruct Evers, Governor Evers, to opt into a new federal school choice tax program. So Wisconsin's going to get into, we're already, by the way, we're already funding two school systems. If you didn't know that, we're funding two school systems. We've got our public schools, which we give almost no money to, not enough, nothing for K-12, but we also have our private schools. What do you mean that? Yes, your tax dollars gets taken out of the stream for the schools and given to voucher programs, to school choice programs. So we're funding two school programs here. Now, according to Representative Rodriguez, he wants to instruct Evers to opt into a new federal choice program. Gene on the live stream, Gene on the line is calling from Eau Claire. Gene, what do you say? How are you doing this morning? I'll bet you are fired up and gosh darn it, not happy about it.
Good guess. We got a bunch of morons running our state that take control. Hey, you know, what's going on in our federal government started as an example in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And what they did and going after all of our institutions, you know, and changing everything Walker did. He made a mess of our state.
Yeah.
And they went to other states too, because I was thinking, what in the devil are they doing passing all of these changes in our state? And then I noticed, I started checking it out, and they were doing it in other states.
Yeah.
Other,
oh, yeah.
Blue states. I mean, this has been like a ongoing thing, and then it makes it up to our federal government. And we finally got some sanity back in our state, and these yahoos are still trying to keep it coming. They're idiots. They don't care about the state, and it's nuts when we are paying for two separate school systems, one that we don't even have any comment or ability to check out,
mm-hmm.
and the other one that is for the public. It is so crazy. Keep up the great work. I just can't believe all this stuff. And I got to say one more thing.
Real quick, Jeannie, we're coming up on against the wall. What's going on?
This is my opinion. GOP now stands for Guardians of the Predators. This is my opinion. I'm mad about that too. So you have a good day.
You as well, Jeannie. And we're going to keep the conversation going about this press conference held yesterday by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, about how they want to consolidate power in the face of the courts, in the face of the governor, and more on the education ideas and these task forces when we return. Don't forget, get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Go grab some water, stay hydrated. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close, stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, but will be back before you know it. If you want to call us, you want to text us, it's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Still to come at 9:35 after the bottom of the hour news, we've got Andrew Watkins, who is a New York Times bestselling author, here to talk about the influence of Christian nationalism in our government, in our halls of power, in our neighborhoods and communities. We're going to be talking a lot about a gentleman in Idaho who has more influence than you think, but Andrew Watkins is going to be here at 9:35 to talk about it more. And then at 10:06, Rick Reed is a professor of economics from Fox Valley Technical College, talking about all of the business going on with Trump versus the Fed and why bullying people and organizations aren't what we need to do in this country, and they don't really help us to begin with. Then Weather and Wine at 10:35, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:52. So don't go anywhere. We've got a great, great show ahead. Just want to say this really quick here. Before we went and got ourselves some water and some snacks, we were talking to Jeannie from Eau Claire, and she is always fired up and ready to go. She has always got her ducks in a row when she wants to talk about what's on her mind. And Tony on the live stream says, I've never met Jeannie from Eau Claire, but she is one of my favorite people. Yep. I love the fire. I love the zest. I love the sass. I love it all. And she keeps it very, Calvin, she keeps it very Midwestern. I'd say Midwestern cussing. She's not cussing, but like, gall dang it, gosh darn it. Those are like, you know, I enjoy those. I enjoy those in place of your traditional cuss words.
I always appreciate that she qualifies her more controversial, but I would say still accurate with that it is just her opinion.
Yes, exactly. I won't say they're right or wrong, but wink. Thanks always for getting in touch with us, Jeannie. We really appreciate you. We were talking about, before we ran and got some water, we were talking about the fact that there was a press conference yesterday with Robin Voss, who is the Speaker of the Assembly here in Wisconsin, and his buddies, and they want to put together a bunch of task forces as well as some new bills to, they want to move forward. You know, Wisconsin, our motto is forward. I think the Democrats are moving backwards, but the Republicans want to move forward. They want to move forward with somehow defunding our schools even more by closing them down and consolidating them. And I'm sure they've got their eyes locked on Madison and MPS because they love those school districts. And they also want to get some task forces in place to get some government efficiency in there. They want to doge it up, but they don't want to say doge because, you know, that's a naughty word now. I don't know what to say to it other than you say you're moving forward, but what you're really doing is you are trying to take us backwards because one of your task forces looks at the rulemaking process and how to rework that. It's the top one they talk about. It's the rulemaking process. Because as we saw, the court came out with some opinions that favored the governor, allowed him to distribute grants. And like, so there was the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Grant Program. It lapsed last year. And they want to bring this back. It's a popular thing. This is not a partisan, deeply divided thing. It's a very popular grant. And because the governor went ahead and wanted to move this forward, Robin Voss got very upset because he doesn't like it when people try to take his power because the popcorn king is in charge of everything. So they want to look at the rulemaking process and see about, you know, what can they do, as always, to get their power back. They don't really care about you. They don't care about the people. They, as Jeannie says, they don't care about the people. They care about their power. And they should really watch it, too, because next year is an election. And if they keep doing things like this, I don't have time to go into all the task forces, and maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow, because, frankly, I feel like we should all know more about these task forces. But they want to bring in an efficiency task force, much like their failed GOAT, which is an offshoot of DOGE. But they also want to look, it's called the Federal Department, the Government Oversight and Accountability Transparency Committee. That was the original, that was GOAT. And they want to revamp it, but they also want to see how they can create efficiencies with the government using AI. And I just want to make something very clear before we go to the bottom of the hour news. This is 2025. Next year is 2026. That's going to be their year where they're not going to do a lot. They want to ram these bills through and get these task force started. They need to have them up and running by the end of the year because their session ends after October. And then next year is their 10 month holiday year. We are the ones who work a little bit faster in the assembly, but an awful lot of these become law because of our partnership with the state Senate. I'm extremely confident by February, when we adjourn, we will produce a good package of bills we can all stand behind. They can stand behind because they don't want to stand in front and take the blame for what they're doing to Wisconsin. Remember, next year is the 10-month vacation. They will be until February. They will do their business, and they'll be walking around Wisconsin. And they're going to try to hurt our schools. They're going to try to hurt our kids. They're going to try to consolidate their power so the governor has nothing. And I'm frankly, I'm tired of it. Remember, next year is an election year. Myvote.wi.gov to find out who represents you. Talk to them, tell them what you think about the job they're doing, and remember to keep up with who's running in your districts, because your voting is your voice. We're going to keep talking. We're going to talk to Andrew Watkins next, best-selling author, New York Times, talking about white Christian nationalism in our halls of power and in our communities. Don't go anywhere. Have yourself a break. Have yourself a snack. You're listening to Matt and Aaron here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned. Can you hear me now? Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, and you are back with us, and we're happy to have you. If you want to call or text, get us on your phone. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. We are waiting. We have Andrew Watkins here. We're working through a few technical difficulties. No big deal. We will have her on before we know it. And we are going to talk about Christian nationalism, white Christian nationalism. She is a survivor of a Christian nationalist community. She is also a New York Times bestselling author, as well as the author and creator of the Substack For Such a Time as This. If you want to get that in your life, subscribe, go to Substack and find that out, and we can absolutely get you in touch. We've got Andra on the phone right now. Andra, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you. I'm going to try to experiment here. I'm going to bring you in, and we can see. There we go. We got both mediums. You're on the live stream, but we also got you on the phone. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Usually I can fix that really quickly, and for some reason today it just did not work. But anyway, we're here, so it's good to see you, Greg.
It's great to see you as well. I really appreciate your time. And I want to, before we get into anything, I want to kick this off with a video clip. And it's something I sent to you. And when you email back, you're like, oh, I know this guy. I know all about him. I'm familiar with his whole milieu. So before we talk, let's play the clip, Calvin. We've actually got the clip in two pieces. I want to play the first part now. It's a little bit longer, about a minute and a half. But after we're done, we're going to talk about this man, who he is, and what I want to say stands for, but I don't like that phrase because it just feels more bold and honorific. But Calvin, please play that clip for us.
Working journalist, and I'm a mom of three.
The kind of people that people come out of.
So you just think they're meant to have babies. That's it. They're just a vessel.
No, it doesn't take any talent to simply reproduce biologically. The wife and mother, who is the chief executive of the home, is entrusted with three or four or five eternal souls.
I'm here as a working journalist, and I'm a mom of three.
Good for you.
Is that an issue?
No. No, it's not automatically an issue.
Christchurch senior pastor Doug Wilson is the leader of a Christian nationalist movement that believes in a patriarchal society where men are dominant and women are expected to submit to their husbands. Josh and Amy Prince, along with their four kids, moved from Washington State to Moscow, Idaho, where Wilson's movement is based.
Do you see Amy as your equal?
Yes and no. In the sense that we're both saved by grace, we're absolutely on equal footing. But we have very different purposes, God-given.
But do you see yourself as the head of the household, as the man?
He is the head of our household.
Yes,
and I do submit to him.
So, like, moving here,
I was just
was
gonna
ultimately
say that.
Your decision.
Yes.
That's a great example.
Wilson says in his vision of a Christian society, women as individuals shouldn't be able to vote. His fellow pastors, Jared Longshore and Toby Sumter, agree.
In my ideal society, we would vote as households. And I would ordinarily be the one that would cast the vote, but I would cast the vote having discussed it with my household.
But what if there's a your wife doesn't want to vote for the same person as you?
Right. Well, then that's a great opportunity for a good discussion.
There are some who have gone so far as to say that they want the 19th Amendment repealed.
I would support that. And I'd support it on the basis that the atomization that comes with our current system is not good for humans.
Okay, well, there was a lot to unpack there. Here's the thing. I just want to give the... Okay, so as I said before, Andrew Watkins is a survivor of a white Christian nationalist community. I am not. I was raised Catholic. The laziest of the Christians, if you ask me. So this, for me, whenever I hear it, is always the blood boiling, the skin curdling. Everything about it makes me so mad and shocked and all these... But for you, Andra, this is... Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I did not grow up in a church that is as extreme as Doug Wilson's is, shockingly. You know, Doug Wilson is a dominionist, Christian nationalist, and I talk a lot about the three sects of Christian nationalism. So there's the Baptist, Protestant, Presbyterian sect. There's the dominionist sect, which is charismatic, Pentecostal based. And then there's Opus Dei Catholicism, which you obviously didn't have any exposure to when you were growing up.
Mm-mm.
So Doug Wilson is in the dominionist Christian persuasion of this. And he is a very radicalized extremist in the sense that he believes only men should lead, only white men should lead.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how he runs his churches. You know, only the men lead, only the men hold positions of leadership, only the men address the community. Women cannot do that. I grew up in a church like that, actually, where women could not teach boys once they reach puberty in Sunday school, and women could not address the congregation from the pulpit. So Doug Wilson operates that way. He, you know, obviously believes that women belong in the home, being mothers and submitting to men, and believes that men should make the decisions about society, who's going to lead society, and how we're going to govern society.
There is, so for those who's joined us maybe mid-conversation, because PJ on the live stream said, what the H did I just hear? That was a gentleman named Doug Wilson, who's a pastor in Idaho, along with parishioners, other pastors. I don't even like using the word pastor. I know pastors. They're good people. This guy is not, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Like Jeannie from Eau Claire says, just my opinion. But what for an outsider, which is what I am from this world, what I did hear, though, was the polish, the soft side of it all. The women are the chief executives of the home. Really quick, Andra, as you are a woman and you are part of this group, what is the pay structure to be the chief executive of the home?
Zero.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure. And the way they put it out there is just so like this is about family and work. And my husband is the head of the house, and I submit to him. And if we only had one vote, we will talk about it. When really that's all a lie. Women are subject to the men. Men make the decisions. Women can think they have positions of power in the home, but really they are about not being talented by having babies, lots of babies, and doing whatever their community and their husbands tell them to do. I mean, that's the more real version of this very polished, very, very, you know, interview they did where they knew exactly who they were talking to and what they needed to say to make themselves look well-adjusted and normal.
Right, and in groups among themselves, you can find video of Doug Wilson saying things like, if a man has sex with his wife and she doesn't want to have it, that's not rape.
Mm-hmm.
Marital rape doesn't happen to Doug Wilson and in his church because it is always a woman's job to service her husband whenever he wants it. That is part of submitting to your husband. So therefore, marital rape can never happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll say more extreme things like that amongst his own community or amongst friendly ears.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets in front of someone from CNN, he polishes it up to making his wife chattel,
mm-hmm.
by calling her the chief executive of the home. But really what these men believe is that their women, their wives, and their children are their property. And that is what they want to have happen.
And but I've seen the videos too, even in the ear. And by the way, if you're just joining us, we are on Matinee on Air, Civic Media Radio Network, talking to the wonderful Andrew Watkins, New York Times bestselling artist and author and the creator of the Substack For Such a Time as This. And we're discussing Doug Wilson, specifically his church. You said Dominion Christian Nationalist Movement, and just even in the way they present it though from the public, because you see the video from when they're talking in church, they're still presenting it as a thing of, well, the man has needs and he needs to procreate and he needs to populate the earth, and if he has to, you know, and any sin he portrays, any sin he takes a part in, it's never a problem because he's saved. That's the man. He's the head. There's pressures. We have Andrew. I don't know if you know. I'm a man. I have things I need to do, and apparently, it's do whatever I want in spite of what my wife thinks. And I'm sorry if she has a problem with that. But I'm a man. Forgive me. Calvin had a question for you though, Andrew. I just want to make that point real clear.
Yeah, I guess my question, and this might be an impossible question to answer. It's kind of like a chicken or the egg type of deal. But how much of this is a genuine belief that this is revelation from God and this is a good faith interpretation of scripture versus a justification for the perverse form of control they desire?
It's the latter, 100%.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is absolutely, these men think that they have a handle on the one true God. You know, the way they portray God, vengeful, angry Old Testament God, is who they worship. That's the one true God, and they are that one true God's representatives on earth. And since, you know, the one true God doesn't come down here and tell us what the one true God means with anything, the one true God has picked these men to represent the one true God. I don't assign sex to God. That's just too, yeah. You know.
Whoa, Andrew Watkins is woke here. My goodness.
So, you know, that's what they believe. So they believe they're God's representatives on earth, and so whatever they say, they're making themselves God. Mm-hmm. They're violating the second commandment of the Ten Commandments by making themselves gods. But they can't even quote all the Ten Commandments anyway, so what does it matter?
This is a question that maybe, I mean, this is just for more of a play around for the three of us here. So when you talk about a vengeful Old Testament God, my friends who study the Old Testament and live their lives by the Old Testament are Jewish, and they don't invoke a vengeful, spitey, mean-spirited, commanding God of the... I mean, granted, there are sects of Judaism that says men are the household, but I have friends who are Jewish who do not view the Old Testament the same way these men do. And also, is there a point where they can just pull Jesus out of that equation? They put such a price on being saved as you, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but Jesus's word was about love and service and community and inclusion and happiness and loving God. He is the head of everything. He is my dad. Worship him. But his viewpoint, Jesus's viewpoint, has become a little too loving and liberal and woke for them. So is there a point where they could actually say, we don't really need Jesus? He's not important right now. In fact, before you answer that, we gotta run to get some snacks and get some water. So we're going to come back. I want you to think about that. The quote, evolution of the church. If they just like a smitey God, is that all they need? Do they no longer need Jesus? We're going to talk to Andrew Watkins about that. When we come back, we're going to grab some snacks, grab some water. Don't go anywhere. We're having a great talk. Andrew is a New York Times bestselling author and the creator of For Such a Time as This on Substack. Subscribe now. Get her in your life. She's fantastic. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who's currently resting, currently vacating away, but we'll be back before you know it. She just texted me. She misses you, and she loves you. She'll be back sooner than you know it. I'm Greg Bach sitting in for the rest of the week. I got Calvin Butenhoff on the boards here, Sweet Calby, also known as the Board Lord. And we are talking to Andrew Watkins, who is a New York Times best-selling author. I always like saying that. It just sounds so fancy. Like, I'm around fancy people when I say that. Not just the readers, but an author. Also, creator of the Substack For Such a Time as This. She is a survivor of a white Christian nationalist community, and she comes on the show every month to talk about her experience and also talk about what we need to be on the lookout for, because this is not just about communities in Idaho that are fringe in the forest or doing their thing away from influence. They're very much in the halls of power, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. But before we went to grab some snacks, Andra, I asked a question really quick, and you know, all religion evolves. People evolve the Bible how they want. And the cornerstone was always, as long as Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are saved, you've given yourself up to being saved, that's what you need. But what we've also seen is, I don't even want to say a perversion of Jesus' message, because it's just an all-encompassing forgetting, just a swiping away of the love, inclusion, acceptance, and, you know, doing good for others and community. So my question is, for a group who loves smitey Old Testament God, is there a way that they can just take Jesus out of the equation or make him tougher and say, well, when he made those loaves and fishes, he didn't want everyone to eat them. He said, eat if you want, but you don't have to, because a real Christian doesn't need to eat. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it just feels so weird that Jesus' central message is being erased.
Well, Doug Wilson has written a whole book about the sin of empathy.
Of course he has.
You know, he's written a whole book about how bad empathy is for humanity. So there are a number of people in that world who decry empathy. But I like to say that Christian nationalists use Jesus Christ as a fire escape.
Okay.
So, you know, we escape hell, and then they don't really ever talk about Jesus again in any meaningful way. You know, they are all about vengeful, angry, smitey Old Testament God and inflicting as much Old Testament judgment on Americans and humanity as they possibly can. So it's not that they'll ever set Jesus Christ aside, even though some of them privately will say Jesus was a wimp.
Yeah.
And yep. Jesus wasn't tough enough. And Jesus was too kind to people and whatever. And we need to be tougher. And we need to use, you know, be what vengeful, angry Old Testament God said and stone people to death for, you know, accusing a man of raping them and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, we'd live in such a better world if that's what we had. So it really is this authoritarian mindset that gets baked into these churches that's been going on for 50 years, where they've all been trained to accept a dictator. Because all the pastors are mini dictators. Doug Wilson is a mini dictator. And so these churches run like dictatorships.
Mm.
And so, you know, that's really more what it's about. These men have been able to replace God for their congregations and be God in the flesh.
Mm. That is, it would be easy to say, well, that's sucks for the parishioners, but it really also it's terrible for them, and it's terrible for us as Americans, because Doug Wilson has a hold in the U.S. government by way of Secretary of Defense, of War, Pete Hegseth.
Yeah, I mean, Pete Hegseth found his church a number of years ago. He's, I think, sent his children to one of the schools that's attached to one of those churches. And so, you know, he's speaking at the Pentagon sometimes, or his surrogates are, when he has his illegal prayer meetings and church meetings. So, you know, these people are embedded in government now. Mm-hmm. And this kind of mentality is what's driving Pete Hegseth's purges of women from the military and firing women from leadership positions in the military. It's what's driving purging women from the Department of Defense. I refuse to call it what they want to call
it. Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of it. It's Doug Wilson's mentality about where women belong.
And that's something I want to end this discussion with today. And it's something you brought up last time that I don't know why it hit me like a bolt of truth, because it's true, but you don't think about it because it's not in my world. But These are not the fringes. These are not the crazies. These are not the people in the woods having revival tent revivals and dancing with snakes. These are people who have legit brick and mortar churches around the country, and they are in not just the U.S. government, they're in the halls of power, state, local, and federal.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, Mike Johnson is a Christian nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a Baptist Christian nationalist. So it's, but he has dominionist tendencies as well. They all do now,
yeah,
of taking over the world and forcing everyone to live by their interpretation of the Bible. So this applies whichever version of it you're talking about. And we have probably hundreds of Christian nationalists in our federal government apparatus now because of this regime,
yeah,
who believe that they have the right to force everyone in society to live by religious laws that they have drawn up from their interpretations of the Bible.
Andrew Watkins is a New York Times best-selling author, got to say it again, and the creator of the Substack For Such a Time as This. Please subscribe to this. Please read her books. Please get her in your life. It's important information for us to know. And then share what you know with people, because these are the things that we don't talk about certain things at the dinner table, but we need to start talking about them now because they affect all of us. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate your time. As always, I will look forward to talking to you next month, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right, great. After the top of the hour news, we're going to be talking with economics professor Rick Reed about why bullying the Fed is not a good idea for you, for me, and the country. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt Nair on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.